This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report. The overtime rule is one thing, enforcement is another. It's official now, starting December 1st, a bit more than 6 months from now. Salaried employees making less than about $47,000 per year or $913 a week will be eligible for overtime pay at time and one half of their effective hourly rate. The last adjustment in 2004 was a bit over $23,000 or $455 per week. Importantly, embedded in the rules, a regular adjustment every 3 years, so in 2020, the Department of Labor estimates that overtime eligibility will be 51,000. Earlier estimates targeted the impact as potentially affecting more than 5 million workers. Restaurant and other trade associations have indicated continued opposition, but no matter the sound and fury, the impact of this new rule will be huge one way or another. At the least, the new rule mandates a much closer accounting of hours for workers that have been salaried in a range of an effective rate of between $12 per hour and $23 per hour, which will require an obvious adjustment for many employers. The reckoning will not just come in the area of the standard work week. Any regular meetings, conventions, seminars, and other work-related events that had been automatic for salaried workers in that range will now potentially trigger overtime. And if not, overtime adjustments in worker schedules or exclusion from such events. Travel time has always been a contentious issue for hourly workers, and we can expect a deluge of transitional controversies for such workers now. Increases before 2004 were more minimal, allowing employers to potentially meet the overtime requirements by raising minimum salaries above the threshold, giving workers a nice raise, and avoiding the problems. We can expect that a doubling of the rate will not be met by most employers with an across-the-board raise of $10,000 or $20,000 a year, but some who are close might bump workers over. Opponents insist that this will mean reduced hours for many salaried workers, and that sounds right, but that's also fair. Reduced hours for salaried workers does not mean less income than they're receiving now, but at least it means less work for the same amount of money. Workers given fewer hours will either have more leisure or more opportunity to do other work rather than being tied to more hours at the same pay with their primary employer. My bet, though, is that this transition will be hard and the Department of Labor will be swamped with both questions from workers newly eligible for overtime and with complaints from many workers whose employers are hoping they can wink and nod rather than tightening hours or paying overtime. In city after city where minimum wage increases have been won, we have all found that often the key to whether or not workers actually benefit from changes is whether or not there's real provision for enforcement. Enforcement means rules with teeth and personnel. There's no indication that Congress has suddenly beefed up the wage and hours division of the Department of Labor, and they are already lagging in enforcing the existing minimum wage and overtime rules. For workers to get the benefits claimed by this rule and actually see increases in real income, it will take a change in employer mindset and enforcement to make sure that employer hearts and minds are forced to change. That change will be harder to realize than the process of simply establishing a new rule. Until then, the jury is out on whether or not real wages will increase for salaried workers at the level projected. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.